course, in all other newsletters throughout the world. I suggest that the youth look up the references in that message. I understand there is some form of a conference or seminar for the youth very soon. In preparation for that, I suggest that the youth committee or its helpers try to find the references that you will see in that message. There is reference to the immortal youthful heroes of the heroic age. Who were they? To try and find them, list them, talk about them. Then there is a reference to the first wave of persecution during the Babi dispensation in the city of Shiraz. What were the circumstances? To study this, to find it out. Then there is a reference to Baha'u'llah's statement about the youth. What is that statement? Where was it published? What is the full text? Or one made by Abdul Baha about the youth. Likewise, where is that reference? And then there is a list of qualities that Shoghi Effendi saw in the youth, loved to see in the youth, the praises that he showers upon the youth, and the qualities and virtues of the youthful members of the Baha'i community. There is a list of all those things that Shoghi Effendi has said. Not all, but some. To find the references. This is how we learn. And then there is at the end of the message a reference to the role that the youth have in attracting the attention and respect of their own peers and of assisting in the final triumph of the cause of Baha'u'llah. The youth of this generation have a special mission that the youth of my generation did not have. And the youth of a future generation, I think, will also not have in the same way. We are approaching the end of the century. We are approaching a time when Abdul Baha has clearly, and Shoghi Effendi has confirmed this in his writing, anticipated the establishment of universal peace, of the lesser peace. At that time, myself and people of my age will probably not be there. The administrators of the faith, the leaders of the faith, the representatives of the faith will undoubtedly be those of you who are now passing through your youthful years. So you see, you have been selected by the hand of destiny. From all the generations of youth, from time immemorial, to be living at a time when humanity will come of age, when humanity is ready for this great step in its collective life, when there will be far greater receptivity in the world. You will be living at that time. So you see how important it is for the youth of today to prepare themselves and not waste a single day, a single hour, without studying and preparing themselves for that wonderful day ahead. Thank you very much.
Being persecuted in Iran, aware of the events of progress being achieved outside of Iran by their Baha'i brothers and sisters.
You know that contact with the Baha'is in Iran is very difficult. But whenever there is an opportunity, when someone is traveling, for example, or other opportunities present themselves, yes, messages are sent and news about the achievements of the friends outside Iran are sent to the National Spiritual Assembly, which in turn conveys it in a wise and safe way to the friends. And invariably, these reports of victories won or steps taken on their behalf cause them great joy and pride and gratitude.
There are two questions here, friend, one in Persian and the other one in English, but both of them really refer to the same topic. The questioner asked that in the message of the House of Justice to the Baha'i world this last Rezvan, the Universal House of Justice refer to point to the fact that the Baha'i communities must turn their attentions to the economic and social events in the non-Baha'i world. Is it possible to have further explanation to this?
This is a very good question. It is impossible to give a full explanation to you at this time. But briefly, development projects, so to speak, particularly in the educational field, are not a new thing for the Baha'i community as a whole. First of all, you must remember that when creating the institution of the Mashrab al-Askar, Baha'u'llah envisaged a central edifice for worship and dependencies around which devote themselves to humanitarian, scientific, educational pursuits of man. Abdul Baha, as soon as he felt that the conditions were ripe, immediately instructed the friends in Iran to have schools, educational schools. And as you know, the Tarbiyat and other schools were established throughout the whole country, and then later, of course, had to be closed. But you see, this is the pattern of the development of the Baha'i community. Now, the House of Justice, looking at the present situation, the general goodwill that has been generated throughout the world for the faith, felt that it was important now for national spiritual assemblies, to the extent that it is possible, to engage in such development projects. In other words, first, in countries of the third world, Second, if the maturity of the Baha'is of that particular national community will permit such a development, and third, if the resources allow. Within these limits, the House of Justice would like to see such projects being initiated by the Baha'is, under the control of the Baha'is, in order to assist the Baha'is and non-Baha'is alike in countries where such need is indeed required. Now, this is not something that we have to do or we can do between now and Rizwan and accomplish everything. This is a long-term project, and your community will be receiving instructions from the Universal House of Justice about how to go about these development projects. And while I am on this point, I would like to pay tribute to the pioneers who have arisen from this country and have gone to foreign fields, particularly in the Third World. They have been brilliant. They are a pride to the World Center, to the House of Justice. They are not only a source of pride to you as a community, but they are a source of pride to the House of Justice. Although in number they come after the Persian Baha'i community and the US Baha'i community, but I dare say that in quality they almost surpass everybody. They have shown a sense of responsibility, a sense of sacrifice, of perseverance. Of course, there have been quite a few who have come back. Of course, there are many now in the field who are having problems. But they welcome these problems, I think, with a spirit which is exemplary. And what's more, Canada has been able to produce both English-speaking and French-speaking pioneers, youthful pioneers, who have been extremely useful in the past. And I think you will find that in the future, the House of Justice will be calling upon the Canadian Baha'i community to engage to the extent possible in such development projects in the Third World.
Where is the greatest priority in the world for pioneering? Are there all countries open to the faith?
All countries except those in the Eastern Bloc, where traveling or settlement is difficult. As to priorities in the pioneering field, this changes from year to year depending upon the needs of the cause. I suggest that this matter be presented to the National Spiritual Assembly, and I'm sure they have the information, they are in contact with the House of Justice, and they will be able to guide the pioneers to places where pioneers, and particularly Canadian pioneers, are needed. And I know I am speaking on behalf of the National Assembly when I say they need devoted, knowledgeable pioneers, preferably youthful pioneers, to go out into the field, and if possible, self-supporting, because the demands on the National Fund these days are very great.
This question asked, We would be grateful if you could speak about the requirements of local spiritual assembly development, particularly so far as North America is concerned.
This will require a whole talk on the subject of local spiritual assemblies, and I think it's impossible for me to enter into this subject this evening. And I request the questioner to refer to the institutions of the faith for adequate answers. I in fact urge that dear friend to study the writings, because it's all there. All you have to do is to pick up the right book, and if you don't know which book to pick, you ask a knowledgeable Baha'i and they will show you the book, and you read it and study it, and it's all there. God bless you.
How are you doing?
One more.
Now this is going to put me in a very difficult situation. One more question, and I've got a handful of them. How do we know that we have obtained the Lord's pleasure?
I wish I knew the answer to that. The answer is, we do not know. We will never know. We may guess, our guess may be wrong. All we can do is to try. That's all. We can try. We have mentioned the name of Amatul Baha here more than once, I'd like to mention also her name as I close my comments today. In a humorous mood, I think, she once said, I don't think she wanted us or anyone to take her literally. She said that when I die, I want you to engrave on my tombstone only two words. She tried. And I have thought to myself, I said, can I truthfully say I have really tried? Of course, what Ruhi Khanum meant was something else. She meant, in other words, I don't know whether it's acceptable or what. I have tried. But she tried. She's correct. She did try. She is trying all the time. And I ask myself, have I really tried? Have I tried enough? How many times have I tried only half-heartedly? How many times I have not even tried? How blissful, as Ruhi Khanum can say, and we can all agree with her, that she tried and she is trying. God bless you all.